Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Tuesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Nice to have you back, big guy. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody.
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
Missed you yesterday.
How come?
Mostly just because my throat was hurting.
Mm. Well, it was a bad day to miss yesterday. I don't know. Because, you know, after the brackets came out and everything and the big weekend that was and all, I was tuned in and I really wished I had been here yesterday. But I'm back today.
So. Yeah, people were really waiting for your basketball analysis. They want you to fill out your bracket.
Yeah.
Yours was so good last year. They were eagerly waiting for you to break down the matchups. You said you were locked in. I don't believe you.
I sense sarcasm in your voice, but I did pick the champion last year. So
you said that you were locked in. I don't believe that.
What do you mean?
Were you implying that you were locked in here on the show? Because I don't believe that for a second.
I listened to bits and pieces, and then I listened to bits and pieces of the drive. So I guess locked in maybe wasn't really the...
Oh, so we get the same treatment as the drive.
Well, no, y'all were already on for like an hour and a half before I woke up, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I started out really strong out the gate.
Yeah.
Then slowly the voice just kept going and going and going. I feel okay now, but nice to have you back. Hope you had fun in Atlanta.
I did. I got some rooftop action hanging out with a nice view over the city.
I saw that.
Beautiful skyline down there.
Cody McClure was stunting on the internet this weekend.
Atlanta feels like a real city. You know what I mean? Like a real good. It's just got a big vibe to it. Much more than Knoxville or Nashville, for that matter.
Oh, wow. Now he comes back and he's
big vibe.
He's an elitist. He's snarling his nose at Knoxville and Nashville.
That's not true, but I've always liked cities. I like skylines. They've always amazed me.
Saw that you checked out a MLS game.
I did.
Are you now a soccer fan?
I wouldn't go that far, but I can imagine watching one like in Europe would be a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the people I was with were describing this soccer game to me is like, imagine the passion these people here have for their team in Atlanta, and then multiply that by countries. So, like, you get in the World Cup, and imagine the United States being at a game where they're playing, you know, Mexico or somebody, and you're back in your whole country,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Spain and Portugal or whatever. And so I'd really love to see a game like that. The game I saw will at least allow me to put a World Cup game on my bucket list now.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say it made me a soccer fan, but, like, I'd love to watch a World Cup game.
Okay. That's some progress then, I guess.
Great energy from the fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, you picked a good one with Atlanta. I mean, they got one of the crazier crowds.
Well, apparently they won the MLS Cup last year.
That is true. So. They are the champions. I didn't know they'd already started back until I saw your picture.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed it ended in a 1-1 tie.
Yeah, probably not good for the new soccer fans coming to check them out. I'm sure that left you a little unsatisfied.
Well, it was fine. I mean, I was mostly impressed by the crowd and just the atmosphere. And that stadium, Hey, Mercedes-Benz, man. You were down there last year, right, for the Georgia Tech game.
Uh-huh.
The place is something else. That was the first time I'd been inside it. It's like a spaceship. And you go into Atlanta, it's like somebody dropped a spaceship in downtown Atlanta. Pretty cool place.
Well, do you have any final – I guess should I allow you to have any final thoughts on the SEC tournament? I mean, I don't want to talk about it much anymore, but – do you want to give me your 3 or 4 minute spill over the weekend?
Nah, I mean, I'm basically like everybody else. Saturday was amazing. Sunday sucked. 2 seed. Let's strap in. Let's go.
Does Sunday ruin Saturday for you?
No. No, it doesn't ruin it.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, and I feel, you know, the inconsistency was there. But, you know, you're coming off a really emotional win, a big-time win over Kentucky. So it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Would you have felt that way yesterday, or have you had extra time to I guess, relax and kind of think it through? Because usually you take the wins and losses hard. Usually you're really high after the wins and really low after the losses. So has the extra time to reflect allowed you to – I guess, maybe be as level-headed about it, or did the win from Kentucky, was it just so good that it was hard to ruin, I guess, if that question makes sense?
I don't think I really take them all that hard.
I mean, there's been plenty of times after losses this year that, you know, we were going to be lucky to get to the Sweet 16.
I mean, I'm still kind of, I mean, I'm not really turning back on that. I mean, we got a fairly tough draw. What do you mean? I mean, lucky to be in the Sweet 16? I don't know that I would say that, but this team is like a game of performance away from a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, or Final Four, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're the trendy pick by everybody to get to the Final Four. I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, it's weird. I've seen a lot of people pick us to be in the championship game. But I hate this. I mean, I hate this week. I hate Monday through Thursday at noon. I hate it. I hate it with a passion.
Why?
Just because there's so many people who don't watch college basketball making their picks.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
No, it's I don't enjoy it.
That's
we
the
have
beauty
people,
of it.
We have people breaking down teams that you've maybe watched two of their games all year. You have people posing as experts who don't really know.
Well, I mean, isn't that how all of us are with 90% of the teams?
In college basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I hate it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that's part of the whole deal. You do your research and everybody's getting their bracket together. And, oh, did you realize Fairleigh Dickinson had a win earlier this year over so-and-so Power 5? I mean, that's just part of the whole thing.
No, I mean, I understand that it's a part of it. That's.
But you hate it?
That's part of the reason why I do not like it and why I hate it.
I thought you loved March Madness.
I enjoy the games.
When the games start.
I do not like the conversation surrounding it.
I love the whole festivity week. The, you know, so Syracuse, pretty dangerous 8 seed. Yeah, you know, Gonzaga lost to St. Mary's the other day. Second round, could we see Gonzaga get bounced? It could happen. That's one of my picks.
Gonzaga getting bounced in the second round?
By Syracuse.
I'm not going to rain on your parade. We are going to do the same thing we did with fantasy football. We invite you to tell us about your brackets. Just got to lean into it. I can't run away from the conversation. Just have to lean into it. But just know I hate every second of it.
I'm going to draw a bracket out on the whiteboard.
You telling me that you're picking Gonzaga to lose in the second round like I care. You've already started.
You should care.
You've already started with your predictions.
Well, yeah. I've already got a bracket filled out.
Okay.
As we all should.
Thought you were going to wait till Thursday morning to bombard me with all these picks, but you're just going to sprinkle them in, I guess, from here until then.
Tell you what, Murray State over Marquette is a real possibility.
Why's that?
They got one of the best players in the country.
Okay.
John Morant.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a situation like that where you've got an elite player on a team that's a pretty damn good team, too. I believe they're a 30-win team this year.
Uh-huh.
Playing a team like Marquette, you know, kind of middle-of-the-road Power 5, that spells for an upset.
I don't think they're Power 5 anymore.
Murray State scores 83.3 points per game, I believe. They get up and down the floor.
Have you ever heard of Marcus Howard?
Who? Marquette?
Yeah.
He played for Marquette?
Yeah, you ever heard of him?
No.
I mean,
I don't care about him.
He's pretty damn good, too.
Is he an All-American?
Yeah, 25 points a game.
Is he as good as Ja Morant?
Yeah. I mean, not as good as an NBA prospect, but he scores 25 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's pretty damn good, too.
I'll take the NBA prospect out of the what conference they play in? Whatever conference that is, the Missouri Valley Conference. Those teams are always dangerous.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you right about that? Ben said Missouri Valley, and I believed him implicitly, so I don't know. But Ohio Valley is what I feel like, the OVC. Is that wrong? So that's an upset pick. The 12 Oregon over the 5 Wisconsin.
You're not doing all these. You're not giving
another
me
one I like.
Should I just go ahead and let you get this all out of your system now? Can you just give me? Can we? You just want to give me all your picks now?
Nope. Just giving you a couple to think about.
Okay. I mean, I do think Ja Morant is a really good player, and that is one of the games I'm looking forward to the most watching. But I think this Marcus Howard guy is pretty damn good too.
Yeah, he's not good enough. OVC, I was right. And I trusted Ben. Shame.
Glad you guys are getting off to a good start this week.
I'm just fine.
That one's on me.
Just because you don't want to hear it doesn't change my opinion on my bracket.
That one was on me. All those small schools are in the Valley Conferences. That's on me.
I mean, that is fair. Like, you could just say all of those schools whenever you don't know what conference they're in. Now, they're in the I usually go with the the Colonial. Now, I knew that Murray State wasn't in the Colonial, but anything over on the right side of the country, that's the Colonial.
Was it
George Mason? Yeah, they're still in the Colonial. No, they didn't move up. Colonial.
I think Old Dominion.
Colonial.
From the Colonial.
Yeah. Any of those small schools over there. Fairleigh Dickinson, Colonial. All of them. You did mention Ja Morant. And, I mean, I said Marcus Howard is good. Marcus Howard is good. I mean, what Morant's done so far this year is ridiculous. He's shooting 50% from the field as he scores 24 points a game and 10 assists and 5 rebounds. Like, he is a beast, and he is going to be one of, if not the best players in this tournament, or one of, if not the second best player in this tournament. I don't think anyone's touching Zion. And I do think people, whenever they go to fill out their bracket, maybe – overrate that a little bit. I do think it does come down ultimately to teams. Maybe you could have a crazy run where somebody could just take you all the way. Maybe you could have a Kemba Walker type of run. I don't know. But Sports Illustrated put out their list of the top 50 players in March Madness. We'll go through that list next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Distilled in the talked about Ja Morant. I talked a little bit about Marcus Howard. There is going to be a little bit of star power in this tournament. Obviously, everyone is going to be in the shade of Zion Williamson. Is he the biggest story of this tournament, in your opinion? If you're looking at storylines, I mean, it kind of begins and ends with Duke, right? If you're looking at it from a national scope.
Yeah, it's got to be. Their expectation is even higher than ours, which it's Duke, you know.
Sure.
So understandable, but yeah. But anything short of a national championship for them this year, I think they'll be disappointed.
Oh yeah, I mean, they are the biggest favorite since that Kentucky team came in here undefeated. Now granted, that Kentucky team lost in, you know, the Final Four. They lost to Wisconsin, but Duke's the biggest favorite in the last 5 years. So I agree with you when you say that it's going to be a championship or bust for them. A little bit of breaking news. I couldn't find the horn this morning when I was looking.
That's not a good sign.
Wheel, wheel, wheel. I mean, I didn't really look, but I just grabbed the board and the hat.
Did the drive steal our horn?
Wheel, 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 wheel. Mike Trout and the Los Angeles Angels closing in on an extension. 12 years. Like Bryce Harper, would you like to guess at how many millions of dollars for Mike Trout? 12 years.
It's similar to the Bryce Harper.
What was Bryce Harper's total?
330, I believe.
330?
Or was his 300?
Right.
One guy was 10-year 300, and the other guy was 13-330.
Machado was 10 years 300. Bryce Harper was 13 years 330.
Okay. I'm going to go.
Mike Trout is 12 years.
And you're asking me what the number is?
Yeah.
Is it the biggest number?
Yeah. I mean, Mike Trout's by far the best player in baseball.
12 years, 350.
420.
My God. Oh, so when we were talking about these last two contracts, everybody was like, oh, these baseball deals are incredible. Look at these numbers. So now Mike Trout has just dwarfed both of those.
Are they going to be in, like, paying him when he's, like, 60, like these other guys?
I mean, I don't know. They tried to do that with the – I believe it's actually $430 million. Yeah, it's $430 million. Actually, I undersold Lord. It.
God.
I undersold it at $420. It's 12 years, $430 million.
That just completely dwarfs the other two contracts.
I mean, he dwarfs them talent-wise as well.
$430 million over 12 years?
Yeah. He dwarfs them talent-wise as well. He is clearly better than both of them. And the Angels made a statement. Because, I mean, there was some concern that Mike Trout would become a free agent and ultimately try to end up in Philadelphia, where he's from, where he has season tickets to the Eagles games, and him and, you know, Bryce Harper's already been flirting with him, saying, hey, come, let's be in an outfield together. The Angels went ahead and locked that up and said, nah. That doesn't mean he's going to finish his career there. I mean, there's trades to be had probably 5 or 6 years from now, but wow.
That's $35.8 million a year.
That's a lot of money. That's Mike Conley money.
That's nearly $3 million a month.
He's getting Mike Conley money.
Nearly $3 million a month.
Yep.
That's $746,527 a week. That's like a mansion a week.
Wait, how much was it again a week?
$746,000, $527.
I don't think you can buy a mansion. You can't buy a mansion with
$746,527. Well, not a mansion. Well, that's a Knoxville mansion. Well,
not really.
Some of those big places on the lake are like $3, $4 million homes. But, okay, maybe not mansion, but that's a really nice house.
I mean, yeah, like some of the top-end houses in Farragut are like $600,000,
$700,000, $800,000. Yeah, but yeah, some of those big places like on the river are like $4
million. Right. Yeah, you go into
top-end houses and mansions are different things.
I consider those houses mansions. I dated a girl from Webb in one of those houses, and it was something out of a dream for me.
I mean, how many bedrooms does she have? How many bedrooms do you have to be a mansion?
There were 5 bedrooms.
7.
I feel like you need at least 8 was my number. I feel like you have to have 8 to be a mansion.
8 bedrooms?
To be a mansion.
But like,
and that might even be small. Mansion has to have like wings of houses.
But their entire basement was essentially an entertainment. They had a theater room. They had like a bar area with like an entire Tennessee thing, a wine cellar. Like,
we just have different definitions of mansions, I guess. I'm thinking of a state with like different wings where you got to walk. You know, you got a whole place to get a walk.
Do you
a tenth of a mile across. I mean, not a tenth of a mile, but.
Do you consider the Biltmore a mansion?
Yes.
It didn't seem that big.
I've never been to it, though.
In
but
terms of other mansions.
It looks cool on Richie Rich.
It's really cool.
Whenever Macaulay Culkin was running around in it and catapulting around and stuff, it seemed cool. Seemed like a mansion.
Well, since you want to nitpick this, it's a high-end house.
I didn't want to nitpick.
Week.
I was just, whenever you said that, I was like, well, how much did he make in a week? And then you said $750. I was just saying, you know, nice house. He could buy a nice house every week.
Well, he makes a Honda Civic an hour, basically. $18,663 an hour is what it comes
down
to.
That's pretty good. He's not even working. He's not even working all the time.
That's like a Honda Civic an hour for Mike Trout. An hour of batting practice, boom, Civic.
It is weird, though, when you look at it different ways, though, because like per year, he's making less than John Wall. Which is really stupid because John Wall shouldn't be making that much money. But, like, per year, he's making less than John Wall. Now, granted, John Wall gets a 5-year contract versus a 12-year contract, so there's more money total, right? But per year, that's really crazy at the NBA, like, when you think of that. To me, that's just as crazy, if not crazier. Like, John Wall's making $40 million to play 82 games. Whereas Mike Trout's getting, you know, $35 million to play 162. When you think of it that way.
So John Wall's making like a Ford Fusion an hour.
I haven't broken it down per hour. But, I mean, all those guys that got those big supermaxes, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, those guys are making close to $40 million a year. Now, again, like I said, five-year contracts versus 12. But good for Mike Trout. The Angels are going to be paying Pujols forever. They got in on the wrong side of Pujols' career. They gave him that big, what, 10-year, $300 million contract or 10-year, $280 million contract. Whatever the hell they gave him, they gave it to him at the wrong time. They paid for just all of pretty average to or slightly above good to, you know, average to below average Albert Pujols. They didn't get the good part of him. At least with Mike Trout, they are going to get the entire prime of his career. He got 10 years, $240 million. Albert Pujols did. And they have nothing to show for it. The Angels, like as good as Mike Trout's been, they haven't won anything. And in baseball, obviously, you don't get the same treatment as NBA players or quarterbacks because it's just so hard to win in baseball. You have to have everything. You have to have pitching and, you know, a lineup around you.
Would you do 10 years in jail if it meant you had a 10-year baseball contract on the other side of jail?
Wait, I still have to play baseball after that?
No, you don't have to play baseball. You just get the baseball contract. You get the 10-year $300 million treatment. 10 years in jail, but the next 10 years you get that baseball money.
Am I in a violent prison? Or am I a white-collar prison?
I'll give you regular, just average prison. It's not like
it's not white collar easy. It's not like
not white collar.
I'm not there
easy,
at the embezzlers and stuff. Like Martha Stewart's prison. Am I in Martha Stewart's prison or am I?
It's not easy prison, but it's also not Guantanamo. What are the Guantanamo Bay or like Folsom? What are the tough prisons? Those, yeah. It's like average prison.
I don't know if Folsom.
You might get killed.
I don't know if Folsom
not.
Was tough. I mean, they just know that because
Johnny Cash wrote a song about it.
Yeah,
so it had to be.
And Merle Haggard was in there whenever Johnny came to perform.
I think it was tough.
Was it? I mean, it might have been. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm just saying I don't know it for being tough. I just know it because of country music.
So, average prison, 10 years.
Man, it sounds crazy to say no to this, right? To say no to $300 million? You could literally just, you know, come out. I mean, I'd miss my entire 30s.
Man, when you're 40s, you'd be living, wouldn't you?
Your 40s, you'd be living if you made it out.
Yeah.
Now, again, you said it's an average prison. I don't know what the average prison shank rate is. Like, I don't know how many people are getting murdered in prison in there.
I don't know. It's a risk you got to take. I'd do it.
It sounds crazy to say you wouldn't do it, right?
You're set for the rest of your life. Assuming you can live to the average age of a male, which is, what, 78?
Yeah, but, man, like, signing up to actually go in would be tough. And it would be a long 2 days that you'd have to do.
It'd be brutal. But if you got $300 million on the other side.
That'd be a long 2 days.
I'll even say they hand you the $300 million when you walk out of prison.
According to these stats, between 2000 and 2010, around 3 inmates per 100,000 got murdered.
That's not bad at all.
Give me that one more time.
3 inmates per 100,000.
Okay. And that's just the average in the whole prison system?
Yeah, it just said.
So that's even counting in the rough ones.
Yeah, it said between 2000 and 2010, according from data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. So I trust that.
I mean, my old roommate.
Should you trust that, though?
My old roommate went to prison in Georgia. He did 18 months.
And he lived.
Yeah, and he said no one got killed, but he did say, like, you know, his first month in there, he got his jaw broke. And, like, ooh, you know, basically had a broken jaw in there for 3 months or something, you know, however long it took to heal. And that sounded rough. He said there's a lot of fights. But for the most part, after that, people just kind of stayed to themselves.
As I read further, we might be going up because apparently in 2011, worldwide, 4.17 per thousand.
Yeah. I feel like if you get to
100,000, I mean, sorry.
That's still not a bad number.
Sure.
You're likely to live.
Yeah, you're gonna live.
You'll have some adversity.
You're gonna be a changed man, though.
There'll be some adversity. You'll have to scrap a bit, but I mean,
I guess you get TV in prison. So whenever, I mean, if Tennessee was to win a national championship, or the Titans win the Super Bowl, or Trae Young and the Hawks win an NBA championship, I guess I'd get to watch.
Does everybody get TV in prison, or is that like a perk for good behavior?
I mean, they have a common room where you can watch TV.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not people would want to watch it, because they said, my friend, you know, said that that was a big source of tension, what people wanted to watch. There was a couple of OGs around there who called the shots that said what they were going to watch when they were going to watch it.
Yeah.
So hopefully they
might be Duke fans.
Hopefully they were, hopefully they're sports fans.
Yeah. They might be Kentucky fans.
Hey, put it back on. This Is Us. Gotta see what happens on This Is Us.
Yeah. You got to take it, though. 300 mil on the other side.
Yeah, I know. But, man, like at this age, like, there's a chance that I could come out and my whole life would be completely different. Like, I don't know if my friends could be dead.
Yeah.
Family could all be gone. Like, girlfriend probably ain't waiting. Would she wait 10 years? For $300 million?
You'd have to ask her.
That's the real question. Is she waiting for 10 years, $300 million? My dog's going to die. Goodbye, Frank.
Yeah. You're going to lose Frank. $300 million.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I really don't know if I would do it. It sounds stupid. But, man, those would be a long 2 days in there for that 10 years.
Well, yeah, but 2 days. Imagine how sweet the day is when you walk out of those, when they say, Mr. Reed, it's time to go. Here's your check.
That would be pretty cool. And then you'd probably...
What if one of the inmates broke out and stole your check as you were getting out of the prison?
You couldn't tell anybody while you're in there because no. They'd be plotting against you.
Yeah. They'd kill you and find a way to get your
what
money.
Are you in here for? Just doing a social experiment.
I made a bet.
Get $300 million when I get out. Then you'd probably drink yourself to death right when you got out celebrating. You'd be so excited getting your check, you would die. You could just be good at baseball and not have to go to prison.
You could be. Yeah. But most people aren't Mike Trout or Bryce Harper.
No. But congratulations to Mike Trout. That's a pretty nice paycheck. All right, we'll keep looking at these top 50 players in the tournament, according to Sports Illustrated, next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The McKinney team with Keller Williams has one simple philosophy. The clients come first. Trust me, I know from experience. Travis and Emily helped my lady and me through the entire home buying experience earlier this year. They've gone above and beyond for us even after closing to ensure our happiness. Let their family show your family the way home. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com to view their listings or call them at 865-548-8267. The McKinney Team with Keller Williams.
Tuesdays are for beer. At least they should be.
Back on the program. All right, you could guess the number one player in college basketball, right? We all know that. John Morant, Murray State is not number one. He is top five, though. Of course, it's Zion.
Williamson from Duke.
Yeah. Zion's at the point now where you could just say Zion.
When you get to that point, that's when you know you've made it.
Well, it's also, I mean, he's also got a really cool name. Like, yeah, Zion makes it easy.
If his name was Ed Williamson, you wouldn't just call him Ed.
What's the most basic name that's reached one name status? I mean, because, like, when I think of a sports one name, it's like, Mike?
Well, you still say
MJ. When I say Mike, I think of Michael Jackson. Like, I don't know. Tyson? Although, I mean, I guess Tyson, you're going to go by Tyson, not
Butch.
Just Mike. Butch.
That's probably the worst.
I thought you said Bush. Butch. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. But he's not really a one-name basis outside of here.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there's some basketball, in the NBA, obviously. LeBron, Kobe, those guys got to that level.
But those are unique names.
Those are also unique names. I mean, they're awesome, but they're also, you know, yeah, unique names.
Bono.
Magic.
Yeah. Maybe you just have to have a weird name to go bow.
Probably so. You don't really just talk, you know, John. Ed. There's really not a Bob.
Maybe, you know, if that's the situation, we usually have to make it go with the last name, like Brady.
Dick, maybe.
Peyton. I mean, Peyton got to that status, but Peyton's also, you know.
And that's a pretty basic name.
It's probably the most basic one you could get by of doing.
Tom.
And then go with Brady.
No.
If you get too outlandish, sometimes you might have to, like, do all three because like, you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He went by he could get by of Kareem.
I've always heard all three together.
Tiger.
I've heard a lot of Kareem, just Kareem.
Dale.
Dale, okay.
Maybe Dale.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Zion's reached that status. He's by far the number one player in the country, in my opinion. I mean, I keep saying he's the best college basketball player I've ever seen. You know, with the caveat that I just turned 29 years old and really unaware of college basketball before of 1998, basically. He's the best college basketball player I've ever seen. And I don't think it's close.
Is that because LeBron didn't go to college?
Yeah. Like, if LeBron would have went to college, maybe LeBron is better than him.
Who's your number two?
I'd have to think about that one.
I mean, about who you would have said before Zion?
Who I would have said is the best college basketball player I've ever seen.
I would have said Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you've said that before. And, like, the four blocks a game is pretty crazy. I don't know what my answer would have been.
Anthony Davis?
Maybe. I don't really have a second answer. The name I keep coming back to is JJ, but I just remember him. You know, I don't remember him being like overwhelming. Obviously, he didn't have the athleticism to overwhelm you, but it felt like every time he had the ball, he was going to score, and I hated him. But I don't think he would be my answer.
Is it because he was white? Is that why you hated him?
That's probably more of the Duke thing.
Chris Lofton.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been my answer. Michael Beasley's numbers were ridiculous. Michael Beasley was unguardable in college, but they just didn't win anything. Michael Beasley was, like, really crazy to watch, him and Durant. But I don't have an answer on who my second. I don't have an answer. So when I say Zion is my number one college basketball player of the last, you know, 20 years, I say it pretty confidently. He's the main storyline in the tournament this year. Who do you think Sports Illustrated lists as the second best player in the tournament? Do you think you could guess the top five?
I could guess Grant Williams. Number two.
I take it you've looked this up.
No, I haven't. Number three, RJ Barrett.
Yeah, two for two.
I'm not sure who four. Ja Morant would be number four or number five.
Four.
And five. I don't know who number five is.
So you cheated and looked it up and still couldn't get number five?
I'm over here erasing the whiteboard. I have not looked it up. Look, I'm on tweet deck.
Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech.
Never would have got him. Where are the Nevada guys? Nevada. Excuse me. People out there get really mad when you say Nevada. They all say Nevada. So sometimes I make that mistake. I like to correct myself.
Yeah.
Where are the Jordan Caroline and the Martin twins? I assume they all made it. That's a really intriguing matchup for me. They're playing Florida. First round, 7-10 game.
Nevada's all the way down at a 7 seed?
Mm-hmm. I feel like you got to take Nevada in that game, but.
Nevada's a 7 seed? What the hell happened to them? Weren't they like number 5 in the country for a while? What happened?
They had a couple of losses, but like, I want to say they only lost 4 games.
I mean, if you believe in the whole tournament tested thing, aren't they tournament tested?
Yeah.
I guess they just went to the Sweet 16 last year, but still, like, it's a veteran team. The Martin twins, at least the good one, Caleb comes in at 21.
Yeah, the other one maybe didn't make the list. Jordan Caroline should be on there, though.
He did at 48.
And that's the top 50?
Yeah.
He barely made it.
Were you surprised that Grant Williams was number two?
No, not really. I mean, R.J. Barrett.
I mean, I guess Grant isn't. I mean, Grant's an All-American.
Cam Reddish is not even in the top 50, is he?
Cam Reddish hasn't been good, man. Was he not top 50, though? I didn't notice he wasn't top 50.
I don't think he was even in the top 50.
Not
that I've seen the list, but I had heard that maybe he wasn't even in the top 50.
No, he's not. And he's probably not a top 50 player at this point, which is going to be it's going to make me feel really weird when the Hawks take him at number 5 in the draft. Like, you see the potential, but he also has, to me, just feels like a high on the bust meter. There's been times when you've watched Duke play and he just doesn't even seem like he's on the court. So Grant Williams is really the best player in the country, not named Zion, according to the folks at Sports Illustrated. If you believe that players can carry you far in the tournament, Tennessee has the second best option to do that, right?
And essentially what else you're saying is that Tennessee has the best upperclassmen in the country.
Yeah, they got the best veteran in the country. I mean, the rest of the top five, I mean, obviously Zion, R.J. Barrett, and Moran are freshmen. I believe Culver's a sophomore. So outside of that, like in the top five, yeah, Grant's the only upperclassman. You don't consider sophomores upperclassmen, right? They're still lowerclassmen?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, until you get to junior.
Only juniors and seniors.
Right, because you're above the halfway point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence, upper.
So if you believe in, like, veteran leadership and all that stuff, that's usually what they try to sell you on the tournament, right? Veteran guards and a veteran player you can trust to go to. Tennessee checks those boxes, whereas some of these other teams don't. Now, if you're looking around Tennessee's region, they're going to run into DeAndre Hunter in the Elite Eight, who is the sixth best player in the country, sixth best player in the tournament, according to Sports Illustrated.
I doubt Virginia makes it.
You've been saying it all year.
To the Elite Eight.
You've been saying it all year.
What does their road look like? Actually, I filled out a bracket. I think I may have had them there, but it's because of they'll benefit. What's their road like?
I haven't really looked at a bracket. I don't know.
I don't fill out brackets.
Maybe we should know that since they're in our region.
They'll have to play Ole Miss or Oklahoma second
That's right.
round. And then that Oregon team that I told you is so good, that 12-seed Oregon – or the 5 Wisconsin or 4 Kansas State. So,
are you worried about Oregon?
No, I think Oregon's going to beat Wisconsin. Virginia probably still comes out of there, don't they? I mean,
it's wild to me that Oklahoma just comfortably got in the tournament like that. What the hell is going on in the bubble this year? Why could we have not have been a bubble team? I feel bad for picking on Ohio State, right? Because we pointed out Ohio State had only won 40% of their conference games. Oklahoma's only won 39% of their conference games.
Well, hell, Florida's got 15 losses.
Yeah, but at least Florida went 500 in the SEC, right?
Well, yeah, but yeah, 15 losses. Yeah, Oklahoma's got 13.
But they lost 11 in conference.
Yeah, but Oklahoma beat Wofford. They beat Florida, and that's it.
Okay. Is that enough?
Well, they beat Kansas.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't the good version of Kansas, was it?
No.
All right.
They haven't really done much else.
I don't understand how you get the tournament winning 39% of your conference games.
Surely there's a mid-major out there who would have been better.
That Virginia guy. DeAndre Hunter, 47% from three this year. That's a pretty high efficiency shot for DeAndre Hunter.
And he was the guy who missed the first round last year.
Right, he was the sixth man of the year who went out with an injury. That really kind of helped derail them. So when you look at just the talent in the when you look at the talent in the tournament. Tennessee has the best player not named Zion, the best player in their region, obviously, and Tennessee has another guy in the top 15. Admiral still comes in at number 15. If I'm looking at teams with more than one player, it's Gonzaga. Gonzaga's got two. Duke's got two. And that's it. As far as the top 15 goes. That's it. Tennessee should have the star power to make a run here. Like everything points to Tennessee being able to check the boxes of teams that are built to you know, go to the Final Four. They have the veteran leadership. That's always something they say. You have the go-to player. You got the second best player in the entire country. So what scares you the most about Tennessee in the tournament, Cody?
The only thing that scares me is that we don't show up for a big game. And I think in the tournament that every game is a really big game. If we come out like we did Saturday against Kentucky, we can win the whole damn thing. But there have been times where we don't come out like that. And you know, that's the only thing I'm worried about is if we show up and with a bad team. But, you know, the good thing is I don't think you got a lot of teams, at least in our region, in our side of the bracket, that are really have a lot of firepower. Now, I know Colgate does, but we should be able to get past them. We should just outman them. But that second round matchup, Cincinnati, I mean, they like to play that Virginia-type ball, you know.
Yeah.
And Virginia obviously plays Virginia ball.
Virginia's been a little bit faster this year than years past, right? But, I mean, yeah, Cincinnati is going to grind you out.
So I don't think there's any – nobody in our region scares me. I do like our draw. I do like that we're paired with Virginia. But, you know, a game like Cincinnati, that's at least a team that's capable of beating you on some nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you play 10 against Cincinnati, they might beat you 3. It's in Ohio. That doesn't scare me all that much. I think our fans will show up. I know people have been talking about that, but
I think that's a really stupid narrative.
I think we'll show up and be okay. It's not like Cincinnati has some major fan base.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'm worried that, you know, North Carolina fans are all there rooting against us. That's the concerning thing to me. Not that Cincinnati all of a sudden has an elite fan base. You know, that's just not how the Bearcats get down. Like, the city of Cincinnati itself is split between Xavier and Cincinnati. And hell, probably Kentucky and Ohio State while they're at it.
Thing that really scares me on the road to the Final Four would be, obviously, if you play Virginia in the Elite Eight, that'll be a tough game if they can get that far and if we can get that far. But Villanova in the Sweet 16, if you end up in that game, that would scare me a little bit.
Villanova likes to bomb threes. They shoot 30 of them a game.
And Jay Wright is a top five coach in the game.
Yeah.
So
is that the concern, that Tennessee will get out-coached?
If we play Villanova, I think we'll get through Cincinnati. I really do.
If we lose to Mick Cronin and Cincinnati, I'm going to be beside myself.
I feel good about getting to the Sweet 16. At that point, you're going to be in a game no matter what. I mean, nobody's getting an easy Sweet 16 game. You know, you're going to have to deal with Purdue's the three, right? So
yeah.
Purdue or Nova, and I'm taking Nova to get there over Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
So that one will scare me a bit.
Please stop telling me about your bracket.
I'm going to tell you about it all week. I can't not tell you about it. I mean, you can tell me about yours, too.
Just please stop.
But you don't have one, right?
Please stop telling me about it.
Please. You haven't filled one out?
No, not yet. I mean, I will. I'm going to. I just haven't yet.
Who will you pick as your champion?
Probably Virginia Tech. what I keep coming back to is Virginia Tech when I look at the field.
Seems to me like that's sarcasm.
No, Virginia Tech's going to win it all. That's my pick, at least. I mean, I don't know if they will or not, but Virginia Tech.
That's not who you're picking.
Yeah. I mean, not 100% sure, but that's who I'm feeling right now.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you believe me? Justin Robinson just got back. Justin Robinson's a baller.
They'll have to play Duke in the Sweet 16.
That's fine. Time. They beat Duke just a couple weeks ago.
Mm, they did.
Yeah.
At home with no Zion Williams.
Okay. Where's that game going to be at? If it's in the Sweet 16, it'll be what, in D.C.?
I don't know, but it'll be a neutral floor, and Zion Williamson will be playing.
I'm not a big geography guy, but isn't Washington, D.C. close to Virginia?
Why are you doing this?
Is it or not?
No one believes you.
Is Washington, D.C. close to Virginia, yes or no?
I can sense the laughter in your voice.
You get Justin Robinson back, man. That guy's a 13.7 points per game scorer. Him getting back's huge. He's been out since the end of January. Everyone's talking about Zion being back. What about Justin Robinson? Hmm?
Are you picking Duke or Tennessee?
I just told you. I'm leaning towards Virginia Tech. I think Buzz Williams is a hell of a coach. I don't necessarily like that he's grown his hair out a little bit. At first, I thought he was an ally.
Nobody named Buzz has ever gotten out of the first round of the tournament.
The reason I can't go all the way in on Virginia Tech is, A, because Buzz Williams grew his hair back out, and I feel a little betrayed by it. He looks great. He was somebody I wanted us to hire.
We could have him and Justin Fuente right now if they'd listen to you.
It's true. Fuente would have been better than Butch, buddy. Justin Fuente would have won more games than Butch did the last, from 2015 on.
Yeah.
Top 20 coach, Butch Jones, according to Cody McClure. My only concern is that Texas A&M is after Buzz Williams. And is reportedly has reportedly made him their first, second, and third choice. That worries me because if there's one thing we know about Texas A&M, it's that they're not going to rest until they get their guy. They went out and got Jimbo. So I'm a little worried that that Buzz might be a little distracted. Makes me nervous that a coach is getting openly courted right before his team plays. That's the only thing keeping me from really locking in Virginia Tech as a national champions. If not them, probably Houston. Those are my two picks I'm going back and forth on.
Cincinnati just beat Houston.
They did? I know.
Interesting.
Sometimes a loss is good enough to refocus you,
Mm.
Got to refocus a little bit.
How do you feel about that Buffalo team?
Oh, I love Buffalo.
I do, too.
Things are just going well for Buffalo. They obviously, their pride and joy. Khalil Mack just got a bunch of money. The Bears, great. Then you look, they got that quarterback who might be an NFL prospect. I don't know. He was big and tall. People liked him.
They're going to play somebody like Arizona State and then Texas Tech. Buffalo's probably going to the Sweet 16.
They didn't get the Antonio Brown trade fell through, but they did go out and sign John Brown, and he's fast. Cole Beasley, that's a pretty good underneath receiver. They're trying to revamp that wide receiver room. The whole city of Buffalo up there is on fire a little bit. So yeah, the mojo of the city is important when I'm picking my brackets. Maybe Buffalo's due for a run. You like my analysis? Because that's how stupid you sound when you try to talk about it too. All these stupid reasons that don't matter. Buffalo. Love them. Got them in the Sweet 16.
I think I sounded quite a bit smarter than that.
I don't know, man. The karma of the fan base.
You were just throwing out facts about the city. At least I mentioned the teams and the players.
The city's hot. It's important.
And the points per game, at least.
Well, it's cold up there, but it's the fan bases are fired up. Who does Buffalo play round one?
11 seed. Arizona State or St. John's.
Oh, they're definitely killing them. Buffalo's a 6 seed?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, watch out for Buffalo.
Playing in Tulsa.
Who do they draw in the second round?
Texas Tech. Or Northern Kentucky.
I do like Texas Tech's team.
What about Northern Kentucky's team?
No, I'm more of a Southern Kentucky guy when it comes to my basketball. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.